Good morning. Good morning, Real Life Chapel. It's good to be here this morning. I'm so excited to be here with you. I thank God that I was able to get here with no hurt, harm, nor danger coming across the bridge this morning. Amen. Amen. And I just thank God. Feels like I was just here last Sunday. Come on. Man, but I thank God that Pastor Mark has given me the invitation to come and share with you a portion of God's word. I've been speaking to Pastor Mark this week and asking him how the team and everything is going out there in Jamaica. And because I would be in Jamaica if we weren't here, right? So he got off. And, you know, I feel like my wife, like every time I come here, Pastor Mark's not here. Come on, I mean, is it my breath or is it my arms or what? I mean, he's never here when we come, but I just thank God. And like I said, I spoke to him this week, asked him how everything was going, and he said, Wagwan Birda, yeah, I'm on. Every little thing is all right. I'm like, oh. Okay, Pastor, no problem. So continue to pray for your pastor and the ones who are out there on the mission field. It's a great honor to be out on the mission field serving God and sharing God's word with the locals. Amen. I thank God for my wife. My wife is not here, as you know. She's on a women's retreat at the district, so she's not preaching, so she's just being retreated on, so to speak, right? So thank God for her. I don't know, some of you may not know this or not, but last week I was talking to G, and I was like, hey, G, you know, you can have that baby after I preach on Sunday, right? So, like, she made a promise to me. She made a promise that she wouldn't have the baby last week, and I'm like, yeah, so be careful what you ask for because you just might get it, right? So thank God, and, you know, pray for her and her family, Dio as well, that God will truly bless them and that family. Let us pray at this time. Father, we thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, for you are worthy of all praise. And Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for the songs that were offered up to you, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, for the prayers and the scripture reading, Lord God. And Father God, we just thank you, Lord God, for this gathering, Lord God. Thank you for just keeping us all week long, Father God. And Lord God, we just thank you and we praise you. I ask right now that you would just move me to the side, Lord God, that I may preach your gospel. Lord, that I may share a portion of your word with boldness, with clarity, and with conviction, Father God. For you are truly worthy of all praise. And we ask for all these blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. Worship while you wait. Yeah, there it is right there. Okay, we're coming from Psalms 27:14. You're saying, what is worship while you wait? Here you go. The King James Version says it like this. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The New International Version reads like this. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. The New Living Translation says this, wait patiently for the Lord, be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. And finally, my favorite, the AT version, which is the Alvin Tobe version, and this is what it says. It says, slow down, keep your shirt on, don't be a knucklehead, and wait for God to do his thing. That's the one I kind of like best. You know, so yeah, okay. So if truth be told, and we were being totally honest, most of us don't like waiting, especially if we're waiting for something to change or something to get better. Waiting can be a very frustrating experience. Have you ever been at a red light that just won't change? It means that you're stuck there and things aren't letting you move forward. You ever pulled up in a Chick-fil-A drive-thru and you had to wait? And you had to wait, and just before you pulled off, you remembered how good that the food is, so you decided to wait. Or maybe you've been in a doctor's office and they're calling everybody's name but yours, and you had to wait. You ever been on the phone and they ask you to hold the line and they play that music and that music goes on and on and on, like, stop it. And you don't want to hang up because you don't want to lose your place in line. So you wait and you wait and you wait. And somebody knows what I'm talking about this morning. And your question is, what's taking so long? You're being forced to wait. So waiting at a red light is an inconvenient. Waiting in Chick-fil-A drive-thru is an inconvenient. Waiting at the doctor's office is also an inconvenient. And waiting on the phone is definitely an inconvenient. But the worst kind of waiting of all is waiting on God when God forces you to wait for things to get better in your life, for things to improve, for things to change, to reverse, and nothing is happening. And the truth we're told, sometimes it looks like God has your life in neutral. The motor's running, but the wheels are not moving. Oftentimes, God is never in a hurry when we are. We call on him and he doesn't seem to want to answer. God, if men can create a microwave, then you ought to be able to microwave my situation. Do I have a witness? And sometimes God seems to take so long that we think maybe believing in him isn't worth the effort, because he's making me wait too long for my destiny, for my purpose, for my provision to reverse my circumstances. I talk to him, I pray to him, I go to church, I worship him, and nothing has changed. And what's worse is when you're waiting on God and things get worse. Your sickness gets worse, the car sounds worse, the bills get worse. If it's not one thing, it's another. Things get worse, worse, and worser. Have you ever been there? And you're waiting, and the clock keeps on ticking, and the years keeps on changing, and the calendar keeps moving, and God's got you stuck in time. And the things you prayed about, trusted God for, nothing is happening. The waiting problem. Many of us are like Habakkuk in chapter 1, verse 2, when he cries out, "How long, O Lord, how long do I have to call on you and you do not answer me?" I know you hear me, so don't act like you don't hear me, God. It's bad enough that you have me waiting. But then to have me waiting and you not tell me how long, you're leaving me stuck here. You're not answering me. And you're not giving me any information. Say something, God. And things remain silent in your life. When you need to hear something from God, and the truth be told, in your private moments, sometimes the thought of bailing out on God crosses your mind. And you feel bad for thinking it. You don't want to think it. You wish you didn't think it, but you thunk it. has crossed your mind, and maybe this thing isn't real, and because I'm not hearing nothing from you, Lord. Speak up, because I'm listening to you. It's like the pilot that was flying the plane. The plane had four engines. The first engine went out. The second engine went out. The third engine went out. The fourth engine went out. So the pilot, he puts on his parachute, went to the exit, looked back at the passengers and said, "Wait right here, I'm just going to get some help." The passengers had to wait. Because sometimes it feels like God has bailed out on you in your life, and he's left you to fly by yourself. And sometimes it gets so bad that it feels like God is scraping a rake over your soul. And yet, over and over and over and over and over and over and over in the Bible, we're told to wait on the Lord. For example, in Psalms 130, one of dozens and dozens of examples, verse number 5 and 6, this is what it says, "Wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning." I say more than they that watch for the morning. Psalms 33:20, "Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25 and 26, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to those who seek him. It is good that a man should both hope and wait quietly for the Lord." So, what does it mean to wait on the Lord? I'm glad you asked that question, Real Life Chapel, because Pastor Mark did say you guys are so intelligent. Does it mean that you need to go out and look for a four-leaf clover for good luck? Does it mean that you need to eat a box of Lucky Charm cereal? Because you do know they are magically delicious, aren't you? You know that, right? What does it mean to wait on the Lord? When you know that you've been waiting and you've been waiting and you've heard nothing, let me give you the definition of waiting on the Lord, and I'm going to give you this one for free. Don't tell nobody I'm giving you this one. Waiting on the Lord biblically means not to go outside of God to resolve your issue. Let me say that again. Waiting on the Lord biblically means not to go outside of God to resolve your issue. To wait on the Lord means to not go outside of God to fix the issue you've been waiting for. God is saying, slow your roll, sit down somewhere. I got this. I don't need your help because I am who I am. But because God doesn't send us an answer within 3 minutes of us getting up off the altar, we want to take situation in our own self, outside of God's will. And so while we're waiting on the Lord and taking care of the matter in our own hand, there's a temptation when we are waiting on God to intervene on our behalf, and he's taking his time to deal with us outside of his will. And sometimes we get tired of waiting on God. And so, God, since you're not going to fix it, I'm going to fix it because you're taking way too long to help me in my situation. I'm going to take care of this matter in my own hands. James chapter 5 talks about this a little bit. James says in verse 7, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord." Check this out. God is saying wait, because if you go outside of God to make it happen apart from God, then you delay God in his intervention. One of the ways that he says in James chapter 5, you know you're delaying God, is you're spending a lot of time complaining instead of worshiping. Now, God, you know I was at the altar 3 Sundays in a row, God, and you haven't sent me an answer. Now, God, you know I called that toll-free hotline to order some of that miracle water. I washed in it. I bathed in it. I brushed my teeth in it. I washed my hair in it. And still, no answer. I even drank some of that miracle water. Let me say this to you real quick. Do not go outside of God to make it happen what you're waiting for God to happen because you delay it happening. Yeah. In the Bible, there are a lot of illustrations of people having to wait on God to fulfill his word in their lives. Abraham and Sarah had to wait 25 years before the promise of God for a child according to his will. It got delayed because they went in the flesh. They had to wait. Noah had to wait 120 years before he saw the first storm cloud in the sky. He had to wait. Mary and Martha had to wait until Jesus got to their house so that Jesus could heal Lazarus and bring him back from the dead, the one who he loved. They had to wait. Jesus told his disciples to go to Jerusalem, and they had to wait for the Holy Spirit. The disciples had to wait. And we wait for the return of Jesus Christ. Part of the Christian experience in our lives is that at times we must wait on the Lord. Do I have a witness this morning? And while we're waiting on the Lord, we should not be complaining. We should be worshiping. We need to obey God while we wait. We need to worship while we wait because you will never see what he plans to do in secret unless he sees that you are being obedient to his will in your life. God doesn't tell you everything that he's going to do, but what he has told you, he expects you to do until he shows you what you don't know that he will do. When you're sick and you go to the doctor's office, the doctor writes you a prescription and you fill the prescription. Guess what the doctor expects you to do in your pain while you wait? He wants you to take the medicine. He doesn't expect you to just read about the medicine. He doesn't expect you to meditate on the medicine. He doesn't expect you to talk to other people about the medicine. He doesn't expect you to pour the medicine out. He wants you to take the medicine. Then you gotta wait to get better. But the longer you take to take what the doctor has written, the longer you're gonna be sick and have to wait to get better. A lot of us like to talk about what's written. Talk to other people about what's written. Think about what's written. Listen to the pastor talk about what's written, but never take the medicine and wonder why we don't get better. Wonder why we're still waiting for a divine intervention from the Lord. And we know the Lord to be our great physician, and he has prescribed and he has looked at whether we're being obedient because that affects the timing of the wait. Oh, yes, it does. When you pray and you're disobedient, it affects that time. So you have to wait. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 15:22 that obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, some of us have been waiting for years what God wanted to change in months. Yeah. Some of us have been waiting for months what God wanted to change in weeks. But because he can't get us to do what's written, We read about it, we discuss it, but not act on it, which means there is no faith, no obedience, and we have to wait. You know, waiting involves God's timing. You see, when God is silent, it doesn't mean that he's not working. I'm talking to somebody in here this morning. When God is silent, it doesn't mean that he's left you. When God is silent, it doesn't mean that he's mad at you. Trust and believe, when God is silent, he's working on your behalf, but he's doing it behind the scenes. Because God is a way maker, a miracle worker, a promise keeper, a light in the darkness. Second Peter 2:9 makes it clear that God knows how to deliver his people. So when you are tempted to complain about waiting, that's an invitation to worship while you wait. Here's an example of having to wait, because we've all been there before. In Acts 16:25 through 28, it talks about Paul and Silas. And the Bible says that these two gentlemen, they were Jews, and they were servants of the Most High. And the magistrates had ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. And they were thrown in jail. I have a question for you this morning, Real Life Chapel. How many of you have been to jail? No, don't answer that question. Well, the Bible says that these two guys were in jail. The Bible goes on to say in verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and they sang. Let me read that again, because somebody just missed that. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and they sang. I'm going to repeat that for the one who was just nodding off just now. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and they sang praises to God. And the prisoners heard them. Tell your neighbor, worship while you wait. Tell somebody that. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all of the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. Keep in mind, they were in jail. They prayed and they sang. Verse 27, and the keeper of the prison, awakened out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and he would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Verse 28, this is what it says. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. So let me tell you what's going on here. You see, Paul and Silas used their time of waiting wisely by praying and singing in their jail cell. I wonder what they were singing. They could have been singing, this little light of mine, I'm gonna. They could have been singing, on Christ the solid rock I stand. They could have been singing that. I don't know what they were singing, but trust and believe, whatever they were singing, it got God's attention. And he came and he moved on their behalf. Amen? Do we agree on that? It's been said that when praises go up, blessings come down. Remember that God was with Paul and Silas. You remember the story of Joseph and some of the things that Joseph went through. He was thrown in a pit. He had to wait on God. Sold into slavery. He had to wait. Accused of rape, then thrown in prison. He had to wait. And the Bible says that the Lord was with Joseph. Come on, God. Joseph is saying, "What, you had me go through all this, thrown in a pit, sold by my brothers because they was jealous of me and my anointing. Thrown in a pit, sold into slavery, then thrown into jail because this woman accused me of raping her. But God, you're with me? Come on. Really now?" Joseph is a perfect example of worshiping while you wait. And he became the second in command in the entire land of Egypt because of all that waiting. He wasn't impatient. He prayed and he waited for God to send that answer. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive them of their sins and will heal them of their land. Let me say this to you. Sometimes God will say yes. Sometimes God will say no. And sometimes God will have you waiting. So when God is silent, it doesn't mean that he's not working in your situation. I'm talking to somebody. Even when you don't see him, he's working. Even when you don't feel him, he's working. Even when you thought that God forgot about you and your situation, he's working. Somebody here today might be on the checkout line. Somebody here today might want to throw in the towel. Somebody here today might want to give up. Let me tell you something real quick. Don't check out. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up on God. You know why? Because God doesn't give us up. He doesn't give up on us. Never. God says in Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait on the Lord. Whatever you've been praying for, whoever you've been praying for, the situation, wait on the Lord. As the worship team comes at this time, just keep that in mind. Wait on the Lord. Maybe you're in the middle of a difficult season right now. Worship while you wait. You've been waiting on God to make it happen, and it seems like he's not hearing your prayers. God wants you to know in this moment and in this season, just worship while you wait. Oftentimes, we try to force things to happen. Just worship while you wait. Don't rush the process that you're in right now, God is teaching you something. Just worship while you wait. Don't go down the wrong path. Just worship while you wait. Don't make the same mistake again and again and again. Worship while you wait. Don't quit on God. Just worship while you wait. Don't change your goals. Don't change your plans. Just worship while you wait. I'm here to let you know what God has for you, it is for you. You just got to be obedient and wait on God, because God hears you. God's ears is not clogged. You ain't got to say to God, man, get that Tootsie Roll out your ear. He hears you. He hears your prayers. But we have to be patient enough to wait on him. Yes, we do. God doesn't need our help, Real Life Chapel. He has never needed our help for anything. God's got this. It's God's show. He just uses us. The great Jim Valvano says it best. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. I heard it said that God may not come when you want him to come, but he's always on time. So keep praying, keep on trusting, keep on believing, and keep on worshiping God while you wait. Because God's timing is always perfect in our life. It's always perfect. Wait on him. We go through things day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and we're still praying. Just wait on God. I'm preaching to myself. I don't like waiting. Yeah. Wait on him. He hears you. He knows about you. Didn't leave you. Will never leave you, according to the scripture. He hears that prayer. He hears that prayer that you've been praying for somebody, a child in your life, your daughter, your son, your grandkids, that job, your finances, the report from the doctor. God hears that. Just be obedient. Just be obedient. Don't let nobody tell you, oh, well, you've been waiting. You've been waiting for God to do. You've been waiting for this. We've been waiting. My grandmother told me about God years ago. He still ain't come. God promises you that he's coming back. Because we serve a risen Savior. That's not my words. That's God's word. We serve a risen Savior. Just wait on him. Trust in him. Trust and believe that he has your best interest in heart. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm talking to somebody in here. I see your eyes. I feel it. I feel the spirit that you've been waiting. Somebody's been waiting. That answer is coming. The Bible says that God will never leave you nor forsake you. Ho! Yeah. We serve a mighty good God. It won't be rose. It won't be goodness and sunshine and roses, and the tree, the birds won't be chirping every day in our life. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. But I do know that there is a Savior. I do know that he has a son by the name of Jesus. Ooh. And Jesus died for our sins. Yes, he did. Oh, yeah. So I'm just going to get on out the way and just let God, if someone wants to come to the altar is open. If you want to say, God, you know what? I haven't waited on you, and I want to wait on you. Because I've taken matters, I've taken situations into my own hands, and Lord, I've just messed it up. Messed it all up. In Jamaica, they say, mash it up. You messed up. So if you feel led to come to the altar, if not, just stay where you are and just say, God, just forgive me. Because I've moved before you. I've moved out of your will. Lord God, I want you to restore me, God, to where I once was. This is the opportunity. For God, we thank you, Lord. And we trust in you, Lord God. We want to wait on you, God. We know we stepped out of your will, and we want to be in your will, Father God. We want to be used by you, God. The enemy don't want you to say that. He don't want you to confess that. He's scared when you team up with the Lord, with God. So we thank you. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for you are worthy of all praise. And Lord God, we just thank you, Lord God, that we want to wait patiently for you. We want to send up our requests. We want our requests to be made known unto you, Father. And Lord God, we want to wait on you. And while we wait, we want to worship you, Lord God. We want to be like Paul and Silas in that jail cell, Father God. As they were beaten and they were bloodied up, Lord God, the backs was ripped open and they were bloody, Father God. But somehow they had enough faith and trust in you while they prayed and they were singing praise songs. Lord God, you brought down the house. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. So God, we thank you and we praise you for this day. For Father, we don't know if this is our last day here or not. But Lord God, we wanted to go on record that this day that we were in your house and we heard the word go forth mightily, Father. And we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.